Up here and laugh a little bit. Brother Combs was up there just singing his heart out, and his pants leg is stuck down in the back of his sock. I told Todd. Told Brother Todd, I said, look at him. He looks like a hick from North Dakota. Oh, goodness. It would, you know, it's not uncommon to see a Texan down here with boots and his pants leg stuck in his boots like that, but you seldom see it hung in your socks. Every now and then I'll tuck my shirt in and I'll get it one layer too deep. And you have to be careful. Things like that are noticeable. You know it? That's all right. I'm going to give you time enough to catch on. If you knew every detail that has to be taken care of before we have a friend day, you would be astonished. Each man and each lady on our staff has major responsibilities. And for our friend days to come off as smoothly as they do, everyone has to do their job. And I appreciate so much the diligence of our staff in taking care of their responsibilities. Brother Todd, thank you for all you do, sir. Come and preach tonight.
And the preacher is right, and I want to say a word of thanks to all of our staff as well, our ladies in the office who work diligently to make Friend Day a possibility, and all the printing, the flyers, all the things and the hard work that they do. And probably one of the most unappreciated jobs is probably the secretarial job. And yet they probably carry as much of the load as anybody does. Anybody get to talk to Leon today? I got to talk to Leon. And I found out the preacher only told you what he wanted us to hear. Now, Leon did say that the one thing he did tell you that was right on, he did hit me. But obviously, he twisted his leg the wrong way. But he's quite an individual. I enjoyed spending a little time with him, chatting with him just a little bit. And I told him, I said, you have one of the greatest jobs in all the world. And that's doing therapy on the preacher. I was glad to see all of the results. And may I say to you, church, that I anticipated tonight that it being just probably 99.9% here tonight of our regular church folks that are here every Sunday night, every Wednesday night, every Sunday morning. And I kind of geared what I want to preach to you about in that direction. But first of all, before I you can go ahead and be turning to Isaiah chapter 5, verse number 20. While you're turning, I want to say something quickly to try to preface what I want to preach on tonight. And that is today, 2,431, with over 100 saved and 25 baptized, proves that the Bible works. Okay, it proves that doing what we did in hard work is the way it is meant to be. And folks, listen, the thing about it is, you'll find out real quick, there's no shortcuts to anything. If you want to have something that you can hold on to and appreciate, it's going to take hard work. And that's the reason we can come tonight and we can appreciate what God did today. You know why? Because 99% of us invested in it and brought somebody and saw somebody. Boy, didn't it feel good today to see all those people come down to be saved, some to be baptized? Hey, listen, I met a lady right down here on the front, my wife and had been talking with, and she waved at me and told me to come here. So welcome time. I came down, talked to her. She said, I just wanted to let you know I'm getting baptized today. I said, great. But let me tell you something. When you come to a Sunday evening after you've seen somebody saved and baptized that you were responsible for talking to, that you were responsible for getting here, that you spent your gas to go pick them up, get them to church, walk them down the aisle. When you come Sunday night, don't that feel good? Man, that feels good. Now you say, man, are we trying to pump ourselves up? No, we're just trying to pump Jesus up, amen? Because it feels good when you see people saved and baptized. I just don't understand folks involved in other places that never see anybody saved, never see anybody baptized. Where are they getting the excitement from? Man, it's exciting to see people saved and baptized. And I'm saying all that to say this, church, what I want to direct the message tonight, since most of us are here that had a part in involved in this big day, our friend day, I want to preach to you something that I preached to our Bible college just a few months ago. Because so much out there is pulling the local church to change. So much is trying to pull the church. Change the way you do things. 2431, why would I want to change? Why would we want to change anything? What we're doing is working, folks. You know why? Because it's the Bible way. And I want to preach to you tonight about ministering in a redefining world. Ministering in a redefining world. Take your Bible, stand with me if you would tonight. Isaiah chapter 5 and verse number 20. Isaiah 5, verse number 20. The Scripture says, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. You know what? It's not a new thing for our day and time to try to redefine things. It's been going on for thousands of years, folks. To try to redefine terms, to try to redefine what God really meant or what He didn't mean. It's been going on since the beginning of time. We shouldn't be amazed in our day and time when the same type thing is happening in our generation. What I want to preach to you folks tonight is this. What are we going to do as far as ministry? Ministering in a world that's trying to redefine how we do things. Let's pray together. Father, bless the time that we have together tonight. What a great God You are. We saw Your mighty hand and power today in this service. And Lord, we're so grateful. Lord, I want to be where the hand of God is. I want to be where people are getting saved and baptized. I want to witness it, Lord, before You return. Lord, I believe that there's even greater days ahead. I believe, Lord, that You're willing to save even more people and have even a bigger friend day. Most of all, Lord, I believe You want for Trinity Baptist Church that this type of Sunday be every Sunday. And I really believe that. And I believe, Lord, that we're in a position and a place in America right here in the middle of the Metroplex where it can be done if we'll do our job and surrender to Your will. Now please, speak to our hearts tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. Now, church, we're living in some of the most unsettled and unpredictable times that we've probably ever known, and for sure in our lifetime. We're living in a world that has adopted the spirit of redefining such things as, let's just start right at the top, they're starting to redefine or try to redefine what this country was built on, our Constitution. And they're going to try to redefine what the Constitution means. Well, I'd like to see that because all of them that put their signature on it are dead. They knew exactly what they meant and they wrote down exactly what they desired. And then we're going to have knuckleheads today going to try to redefine it for me. See, we're living in a redefining world. They're trying to redefine terms. Hey, all you got to do is pick your newspaper up. They're trying to redefine what life is. When it starts, when it ends. It don't take much to pick up a magazine or newspaper. They're trying to redefine everything. One of the big things right now going on, they're trying to redefine what marriage is. trying to define what that is. Oh, no, it's not. Marriage is not between one man and one woman. Just as long as it's two individuals, it doesn't matter if they're of the same sex or not. They're trying to redefine for us what marriage is, what life is. And I'm here to tell you, folks, it's coming down now to where they're going to try to redefine what right and wrong is. And it's not necessarily right because we think it's right. It's right whether they think it's right. You say, listen, haven't you always wondered who they are? You know who they are? That's anybody that's contrary to the Word of God. That's anybody out there that's trying to redefine what life is, what marriage is, what right and wrong is. And then they're going to stand up and try to redefine our Constitution. All of these things are trying to be redefined. Because of the redefining process, church, and this philosophy, listen very carefully, it has confused, it has confounded, and controlled the thinking and actions of people. Now listen to me, including the people of God. The people of God now are beginning to be confounded and confused and controlled in their thinking by this redefining process. The people have become desensitized to what the real definition of things are and have succumbed to the false definitions of the world. Listen to me, and those in places of power. And let me tell you something, church. The lust for power and control is behind the redefining process. That's who's behind it. It's all about power. It's all about control. Now, all I'm saying to you, church, is here we are, the Trinity Baptist Church, and we're right in the middle of this redefining process. What are we going to do? We going to change? Well, let me say something to you. You don't have to take your Bible, but I'm going to use an illustration real quick to show you how what we're doing works. Let me take you now back several thousands of years back into the land of Egypt. The people of God now have been in captivity now for in excess of 400 years. God raises up a man by the name of Moses, and he goes back after he spent time with God and God's told him exactly what to do. He goes back to Egypt and he walks into Pharaoh's office and he says this, "Let my people go." Now Pharaoh didn't say, "Well, what am I going to do? What is he going to do? I better let his people go because he's demanding it." Now we know better than that because he didn't let them go, now did he? So what happens? God sends a plague. Pharaoh calls Moses back in and says, "Listen, we need to stay this plague. If you'll get your God to take this plague away, I need you to do that." So Moses goes in, prays before God, the plague's gone, and then he says, "Okay, now what are you going to do?" He says, "Get out of my office." "But I thought you were going to get out." He comes back again, "Let my people go." And did you notice every time that Moses comes back, Pharaoh redefines terms? "Oh yeah, you can go, but just don't go very far. You can go and sacrifice, but sacrifice in the land. You can go, but hey, leave all the cattle, leave the women and children behind." Every time Moses went back, he redefined. Now what I'm saying to you, church, is this. Is that that's the type of world that we're living in. Every day you wake up, you know what? They're going to try to redefine something. Every time you pick the newspaper up, they're going to try to redefine something. Every time you turn the television set on and watch the news, they're going to try to redefine something. And you listen to me. Pharaoh, time after time after time, redefined terms. Here's what I like about Moses. Moses went in every time. Even after he redefined, he went in. You know what he said? Same thing. "Let my people go." "Get out." Comes back next time after the next play. "What do you want? I told you to get out." "Let my people go." "Get out." Listen, that went on 10 different times until the last time. The last time, Pharaoh decided to go ahead and let the people go. But it cost him. It cost him the life of his son. You see, it wasn't until Pharaoh's son was taken that he submitted to the hand of God. And I'm here to tell you, church, the world is watching the church and Christians with a skeptical eye. They're not taking the church seriously because the people who make up the church aren't taking it seriously. You see, when believers surrender to the Lordship of Jesus Christ in their life, then the church will begin to have a greater effect on this redefining world. Maybe the reason the world is redefining is because inside the church they're redefining what worship is. Huh? Maybe things are happening. Maybe the reason they're like they are is because we're like we are. Now all I'm saying to you, church, tonight is this, and that is that we're serving and living in a redefining world. You say, oh my goodness, what are we going to do? We're going to do the same thing Moses did. We're going to do the same thing he did. You say, what's that? Here's the first thing. We're going to keep preaching the same message. Just let my people go. Let my people go. Let my people go. Hey, he didn't have no new sermon. Went in and said the same thing every time. Now you say, wow, that's kind of boring. Boy, that 10th time it wasn't boring. You see, he went in and preached the same message every time. You see, it may be, as I mentioned, the reason that so many things are being redefined is that Christians are not supporting Bible truth. We're agreeing with the world. Say, but they're redefining everything, Brother Todd. I'm afraid. What are we going to do? We're going to keep preaching the same message. That's what we're going to do. We're just going to keep preaching the same thing that got 2,431 of them here today. That's what we're going to do. You know why? Because it works. You say, well, it didn't seem like it worked that first time for Moses. Yeah, but after that 10th time, it worked like a charm. And you know what? Who was behind all 10 of them? God was. He's behind all 10 times he went in. Oh, Lord, what am I going to do? You go tell him, let my people go. That's what I told you to do. But it ain't working. I said, go tell him again. Go let my people go. But it ain't working. I've been there 7 times. He said, go an 8th time. And after 10 times, it worked. You see, the thing about it is, folks, those of you that knock doors enough, you know what? You may knock 10, 15 doors before you win the soul to Christ. That don't mean you stop going. You know what we're going to do in this redefining world? We're going to keep preaching the same message. He said, what message is that? I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We're going to keep preaching the same message Paul preached here. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Listen to what he says in verse 2. Look at verse 1. Paul says, and I declared, and I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. He says, for I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. You know what message Paul preached? Same message. You know what they're trying to do in his day? They're trying to redefine. They're trying to redefine things. And you know what he decided to do? He decided, you know what? I think I'm going to stick with old Moses. I'm just going to say, let my people go. I'm just going to keep preaching Jesus Christ and Him crucified. So what are we going to do in this redefining world? We're going to keep preaching the same message. You see, may I say to you, church, think about the church today and where it was 100 years ago. Is the church having as great an effect today in 2009 as it did 100 years ago? Is the music, the spirit, or the love for the church or Christ or souls where it was 100 years ago? Has the world detected a redefining of our worship or evangelism and service in the local church? And by the way, if you haven't figured it out, the world takes, it doesn't matter what denomination you are to them, they take you all and throw you into the same pot. As far as the world is concerned, Baptists are on the same level Mormons are. They don't care. If you got church anywhere in your name or fellowship anywhere in your name, they just take you all and throw you in the same pot. And they look at that and you know what that? Listen, don't be griping at us. You redefining worship. You redefining. And by the way, can I say this to you? The world knows when the church starts redefining. And I promise you, all they got to do is come in, sit in one service and think, hey, this ain't no different than the club. This ain't no different than that party I just attended last night. The music here ain't no different than that. I'm not talking about here. But I'm talking about they look at the church in general. I'm just here to tell you, folks, that God has always honored His Word. The same message as always. Here it is now. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Same message. And you know what we're going to do in this redefining world? That's what we're going to preach. That's what the message. We're just going to keep preaching the exact same message. Hey, Moses got results. You know what? We got results with it today. Sure did. 115 different results, and 25 of them got baptized. You know why? Same message. Same message. You see, there is no other message outside the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Take your Bible, flip back, if you would, one chapter to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18. 1 Corinthians 1, verse number 18. Paul says here, he says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But wait a minute, I like this last part. He says, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And you know what? The thing about it is, when the preacher stood up and preached this morning, and he gave the invitation, you know what came forth? The power of God. You know why? Because he preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection. He preached the same message that he's always preached. And you know what? After all of us are long dead and gone, you know what we need better start doing? You know what our grandkids and great-grandkids, if we teach them right, you know what they need to do? Preach the same message. Because you know what's going to happen in their day? There's going to be a redefining world. It's going to try to redefine things in their day. So what we're going to do in the redefining world? Number one, we're going to preach the same message. Say, okay, what else are we going to do? Number two, we're going to not only keep preaching the same message, we're going to keep practicing the same methods. We're going to keep practicing the same methods. You know, folks, I was born and raised in Mississippi, and you don't have to be real smart when you're from there. But I tell you this, there's one thing that you don't have to be a rocket scientist to figure out, and that's when something works, you don't change it. I just don't get it. If it works, why would you change it? You say, because, Brother Todd, we're in a redefining world. Things are different now. You know, that's probably what they said 100 years ago. That's probably what, when Moses went up to Pharaoh and said, let my people go. He said, you don't understand. It's a different world now. I can't just let you go. There's more to this than meets the eye. You see, I'm sure that that was kind of the idea and philosophy of his day. I'm sure it's probably then hit the idea and the philosophy of many down through the ages. But church, I'm here to tell you, what are we going to do in a redefining world? We're going to keep preaching the same message, and we're going to keep practicing the same methods. The same methods. You say, what's a method? Glad you asked. Here's what a method is. It's a suitable way or proceeding of transacting business. And you know what we're going to do? We're going to transact business the same way. That's how we're going to have. What's the message? It's the official word. You know what? We're going to keep preaching the official word. Because you know what? I have the official word from God. And so you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to keep preaching the official word from the one who gave it. He said, but if things are changing. Well, so what? You know what? That's a life-changing book right there. That's what it is. Hey, all I'm saying to you, church, there's no fear. Don't bite your nails to the quick. You know what we're going to do? We're going to keep preaching the same message. You know what we're going to do? We're going to keep practicing the same methods that we've always practiced. Listen to me. Fundamental Baptists have always been distinctive to a certain method of operation. Now, some are trying to redefine who we are. Some are trying to redefine us independent Baptists as being harsh and not compassionate toward people. Some are going to try to redefine us as being pharisaical or judgmental toward everybody that's not like us. Man, wouldn't it be a boring world if everybody was like us? I'm talking about like you. or like me, if all of us in here were exactly alike, it'd be a boring world, wouldn't it? You see, God understood that, and yet people are going to try to redefine us as, hey, you know what? You're against everybody that's not like you. Well, man, if that's the case, I'd have to be against everybody then, wouldn't I? Because not everybody's like me. You see, they're going to try to redefine us as a transitional church. Now, folks, listen, I don't want to be a part of a transitional church. I want to be a part of a transformed church. That's what I want to be a part of. You know why? Because I found in the Scriptures, transforming is what Jesus' business is, not transitioning. It's transforming. Now, we're going to keep preaching and preaching the same message. We're going to keep practicing the same methods. And by the way, just in case, I'll just throw this out there. We're going to keep preaching the same book. We're going to keep preaching the same King James Bible that's inspired, preserved for us today in the English language. No other Bible has God used like He's used the King James Bible. We're going to keep talking about the shed blood of Christ. That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about how that the shed blood of literally millions of martyrs have paid and given their lives so that you can have a Bible. That's what I'm talking about right there. Hey, you know what? I'm talking about the same method, same message. That same message. You better be thanking God that message they preached got a lot of them burned at the stake. It got a lot of them their head taken off. You know why? Because of a message. And you know what else? Because of a method. It cost them. Now, you know what we're going to do? We're going to keep preaching the same message in a redefining world. We're going to keep practicing the same methods. Not only are we going to keep using the King James Bible, what else we're going to do? We're going to evangelize the same way. You know what we're going to do? We're going to keep going door to door. You know why there were 2,431 people here today? Because somebody went door to door. You know what? I would imagine, preacher, if we had this morning, said, listen, I want everybody to stand up and found out about our service today by email. Stand up, stand up, stand up. I bet you wouldn't have 20 of them. But I wonder if you had, I want everybody to stand up today that got a flyer or was given by one of our church members, was invited here today personally. By the way, I want you to stand up. I promise you nearly all of them would have stood up. You know what I'm talking about? What I'm talking about is we're going to evangelize the same way. Because that's the Bible way. That's how it works. Soul winning, door to door. We're going to keep running buses. We're going to keep pushing the bus ministry. We're going to keep having missions conferences and stewardship conferences and men of the word conferences and camps and couples escapes and retreats and whatever else we can figure out to try to reach people. That's what we're going to do. You know why? Same methods. Because they work. They work. Now, we're still going to keep talking about holy living. We're going to keep talking about separation from the world. We're going to keep preaching about men dressing right, women dressing right. We're still going to talk about getting the earrings out of the boys' ears and studs out of their nose and lips and tongues and every other place they got them. Still going to talk about chastity of young people to be pure at their wedding altar. Same message. Same method. You know why? Because it works. It produces. Sure does. Now, you explain to me how nearly 2 million, maybe even over 2 million people are going to leave Egypt and follow a man. Explain that. You can't. But God. But you know what? You know what Moses had going for him? Same message. And every time he came back, Pharaoh said, no, not going to let him go. He used the same method. Okay. Then tonight, about this time, about a certain time, this is what's going to happen. Same message he used, same method. Different plague, same method. Now, I'm just here to tell you, church, you know what? As a church in a redefining world, we just need to all just keep preaching the same message, keep practicing the same methods. And then number three, on top of all of this, in a redefining world, We're just going to keep preaching the same message. Let's just keep practicing the same methods. You know why? Because we're going to keep praising the same master. That's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. Praising the same master. Take your Bible if you would. Let's take a look at just a few scriptures in Psalm 150 if you would please. Psalm chapter 150. Psalm chapter 150. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in the firmament of His power. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the psalter and harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high-sounding cymbals. And then he just gets beside himself and said, listen, folks, just let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. That covers everything. That's the end of that psalm, just six verses. You know why? Because when you write that sixth verse, that pretty much settles it, right? Everybody, everything, praise the Lord. So you know what? We're going to keep preaching the same message in a redefining world. We're going to keep practicing the same methods in a redefining, then we're going to keep praising the same master. Same master. You see, there must be a love for Christ among the people of God. Folks, listen to me. God is still God in the good times or in the bad times. Praise has nothing to do with my circumstances. Not a thing. Now, if we're going to praise the same master, we're going to have to understand that we're going to have to serve the Lord. We're going to have to be definite in our life and not redefiners. We're going to have to stick together collectively, because the church is a collective group of members. Now let me show you what I'm talking about and use a quick illustration. This little chain that I hold in my hand, each one of these little links in here, if I disconnected one of these little links, one link in there is probably not going to do me a whole lot of good as far as trying to hang something or pull something. But can I say to you, when I hook 10, 15, 20 of these together, isn't it amazing the strength I can get out of this and what I can support? But if you'll notice in this chain here, that very middle link's totally different from the others. You know why? Because that middle link is connected, it's connecting two separate pieces here, and it's stronger than the other two pieces. That piece right there, that link right there in the middle, let me say to you, that in our life, that's Jesus Christ. He's going to hook everything together. And all I'm saying to you tonight, He's going to hook the message together. He's going to hook the methods together, because it's all about Him serving and praising the Master. Now, let me say, church, in conclusion, go ahead and take your Bible, turn to Colossians chapter 2, if you would please. But we've got to stay linked together. We've got to stay linked together. We've got to all be on the same page with the same message, same method, praising the same master. Colossians chapter 2 and verse number 6. Colossians 2 and verse number 6. Now, folks, listen, it would be wonderful. It would be a great thing if all of a sudden in this room here tonight that we all got on the same page. But let me say something to you. We all are going to leave this place and go our separate ways when we leave here in just a little bit. You know what it means? That means each individual one of us are going to have to own our own time. And when we leave this place and we separate and go to various points, we're going to have to work on our life individually. Now, notice if you would in Colossians chapter 2, verse 6. Colossians 2 and verse number 6. Paul says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord. Now, I want you to notice this. So walk ye in Him. I want you to circle those last two little words because that's what I want to conclude tonight with. He says, so walk ye in Him. He said, you know what, I've always wondered what that little phrase, in Him, what does that mean exactly? Well, I'm going to give you three things real quick here and I'll be done. First of all, when it talks about here where Paul is talking about walk ye in Him, that in Him means exactly this. It means a will. It means a will, a specifically designed will for your life. If I'm going to stay in Him, if I'm going to be a part of what He's a part of, if I'm going to be able to stick with the same message, the same method, and praise the same Master, then you know what? I got to find out what God's will is for me. That word will means a specific direction for your life. If your life depended on it, could you tell the preacher tonight what God's specific will is for you? What He wants you to do in life? You see, it means a will, a specific direction for your life. It means performing His commandments within your life. Can I tell you something, folks? I'm going to tell you right now what the will of God is for every born-again, baptized believer. The will of God for everybody in this room tonight is to give your tithe. That's the will of God. You know what that is? That's performing the will of God within your life. Let me tell you something else that's the will of God for everybody in here. The will of God is for everybody to win souls. It's the will of God for everybody to be in the house of God. It's the will of God for everybody to give thanks to God. You say, man, alive, there sure is a lot of will of God's. But what is the will of God specifically for your life? You see, it's a specific direction. It's performing His commandments within your life because His desire is to be a part of your life. That's His whole desire. So what does in Him exactly mean? It means a will. Number two, it means a way. Now here's what Jesus said. John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Now I want to focus just for a second on that first statement He made. He said, I am the way. I'm the direction. I am the message. I am the method because I'm the Master. Boy, if you nail those M&Ms down, you like M&Ms? There's three of them right there. You chew on those for a while, you'll understand that to be in Him not only a being a born-again believer, but if I am going to have a life that stays in Christ, you know what it is? It's a will, finding out what the will of God is for my life. Number two, it means a way. It's a way. It's a way designed by God, ordained by God. Let me give you the last one. What does being in Him mean exactly? It means a will. It means a way. But did you notice what Colossians 2:6 says? It means a walk. It's a walk. Now, folks, you take a newborn baby. A newborn doesn't know how to walk. Now, eventually, through maturity, that baby figures out how to walk. But in the beginning stages, it doesn't know how. Do you know it is not God's desire for you to remain a babe in Christ all of your life? He wants you to figure out how to walk. And listen, folks, one of the ways you figure out how to walk is come to church, keep your ears open and eyes open, watch and listen. Because you know what you're going to get? You're going to get the same message under the same methods so we can all praise the same Master. It's what it is. You say, oh, but the world is changing. It's redefining. So what? So what? You don't think it was redefining in Jesus' day? The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, the lawyers, you know what they were trying to do? Redefine. You know, by the way, you know one of the things they were trying to redefine? Salvation. It means a walk. That's the reason Galatians 5:16 says, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then Romans chapter 6, verse number 4, the Scripture says we should walk in newness of life. What does it mean exactly to be in Him? Well, as a Christian, it means a will for your life. It means a way. that's designed by God. Message, a method, because He's the master, and it means a walk. Now, church, I preached this tonight just simply because I knew that the majority of the folks that would be here tonight would be folks that probably invested the most in Friend Day. Most of the people here under the sound of my voice tonight are most of the people that brought most of the folks that came today as visitors. That's just a fact of life. But can I say something to you? Just keep doing what you're doing. You just keep preaching the same message. You keep practicing the same methods. You know what? Because it's going to bring praise and honor to the same master. You get a hold of that. You know what? It doesn't matter what terms they redefine. We're going to minister in that line till Jesus comes. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. How many are here tonight and you'd say, Brother Todd, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm saved. I've been born into the family of God. I have no question about it. Why don't you slip your hand way up high? Say, that's me. No, for sure I've been saved. Just slip your hand way up high, way up high, way up high. Very good. All right, you can put your hands down. Maybe there might be someone here tonight. Maybe you've been questioning. Maybe there have been issues or things and you've been thinking about, well, I don't know, Brother Todd, whether I've been born again. I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but I've had some insecurities about my salvation. Would you pray for me? If you're like that tonight, slip your hand up high. You say, Brother Todd, that's me. Pray for me. Anybody like that? You slip your hand way up high. Slip it up high. Say, that's me. Had some questions about my salvation. Anybody like that? All right. Maybe you're here tonight. Say, Brother Todd, I'm going to make my mind up tonight. I don't care what the world does. They can redefine terms, whatever they want to redefine them. I'm committing tonight. I'm going to dedicate myself to the same message. I'm going to dedicate to the same methods because I got the same master. You say, that's me tonight. I'm sticking by my guns. I'm sticking by the Word of God. I'm sticking behind the preacher. I'm sticking behind Trinity Baptist Church. I saw the hand of God today. 2,431 people here. Over 100 saved. Over 25 baptized. And just scores of prospects. So I'm standing behind the preacher in the church. Same message. Same method. Same master. Slip your hand and say, that's me. Commit right now tonight. Don't care what the world redefines. Don't care what kind of terms they define. I'm sticking by what works. God bless you. You put your hands down. The Father, you've seen the hands. In just a moment, the instrument's going to begin to play, but the shadow's going to begin to sing. Those that raise their hand, Lord, we must stick together. We must be like that chain hooked in to Jesus Christ and realize that's where our source of strength is. And Lord, we've got to do your will. We've got to do your will, your way. But that's only going to happen, Lord, if we can build a walk. If we can build a walk with you. Trinity Baptist Church has an incredible job. And yet, Lord, you have put us here in a strategic place to do the work of God. And though things are changing, things are being redefined everywhere, we're going to stand up for truth. Same message, same method, same master. Bless us now. Use this invitation in a great way in Jesus' name. Now with heads bowed and eyes closed, let's stand to our feet. If you raise your hand, you say, Brother Todd, that's me. I'm committed tonight. I want you to come tonight and make that dedication and that commitment to the Lord. Place, if you raise your hand, say, that's me. Same method. I'm standing behind what works. We saw it today. His words for me shall plead. I need no other argument.
Was the message, the method, behind the master.
Plea. It is enough that Jesus died, and that He died for me. Enough for me that Jesus saves. This ends my fear and doubt.
Where in the Bible where Jesus changed His message for anybody?
I come to Him. He'll never cast me out.
He stuck by the same message.
I need no other.